We'll now move on to the Mesa City Council study session for February the 19th. Welcome. The first item on our agenda is to review the formal agenda for our Monday night meeting. I think, Mr. Brady, do we have some staff presentations on some of the items on this agenda as well?
We do, Mayor.
Okay. So just let us know when those come up as our way through.
And Mayor, if you want, we can just go through the entire agenda, and then we'll just come back and bring those up if you'd like.
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you. So let's go with the agenda items 1 through 3 on the first page. I guess some of us are looking at this electronically, aren't we? So please stop me if I go too fast. Agenda item 3A and 3B are liquor license applications. Is there a question about those?
No, just
oh, I see.
Can't out by that. It'd be easier to follow.
Gotcha. All right. So we're looking at liquor license applications 3A through G. Agenda item 4 is taking action on contracts, primarily purchasing and services. B, C, and D, and then there's also an E, F, and G. And these are primarily 3-year contracts for services. Agenda items 4H through 4J, also purchasing radios and airframe parts. Items 4K through 4M. And then the last item under 4 is N. Agenda item number 5 is zoning cases, resolutions, light rail, having to do with airport agreements, and 5D is the light rail proposal.
And, we'll have the presentation on 5 and 6, items 5 and 6 here, Mayor. When you're
great. 5D, right?
Yeah, so we'll include 5B, C, D, and then items 6A.
Okay, so that's the meat of our meeting right there, isn't it? Okay, we'll come back to that. Agenda item 6 are items related to the utilities.
And we have a presentation on those too, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. No questions now, but I'm sure we will during the presentations. Item 7 are to receive public comment on the following ordinances. These are zoning cases. 7A, B, and C. So currently it looks like everything is on the consent agenda, unless someone wants to take them off. But should we go back now and get the staff presentations on some of these issues? Where
yes,
would you like to start?
Thank you, Mayor. I think we'll start with items 5B through D, 5B, C, and D. Jody Sorrell will make that presentation.
Great.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the council. On the agenda on Monday night, there's 3 agreements for Valley Metro regarding the Gilbert Road Light Rail extension. And we just wanted to kind of run through them real quick so that if there were any questions, and clarify any questions. So the 3 agreements are an amendment to our environmental assessment agreement to accept a grant for $606,000 toward the project, a public use way agreement with Valley Metro, and the design and construction agreement with Valley Metro for the Gilbert Road Light Rail extension. The environmental assessment, over the past year since we've moved forward with the Gilbert Road project, the city has been fortunate enough to get advances of our $153 million that we repurposed. And those advances help us move the project forward and also eventually reduce our financing costs that we'll have to finance for the project. During the closeout process this year, MAG has some additional funds that they can send that can be used for the Gilbert Road project for us to accept, and then that helps reduce those costs. In 2013, we did an amendment, similar amendment, for $1 million. Last summer, we did one for $4.1 million. This one is for $606,000, which has our local match of $34,000. and then it also extends the term of that agreement through December of this year so that we have time to spend those funds. And those funds will be used primarily now for the procurement of the designer and the contractor, the construction manager at risk, so we can get started on that project. The public use way agreement, this is an agreement that we've had, this is a new amended agreement that we've had with Valley Metro. We have an agreement with them for it started out with the Central Phoenix, the first initial 1 mile segment that we have in Mesa. We amended it for Central Mesa extension. Now we're amending it again for Gilbert Road. And what it does is it allows Metro to operate and maintain the light rail system within our right of way. We still maintain all of our rights and everything in there, but it gives them the right to maintain within our right of way. The design and construction agreement, again, we did one of these for the initial project. We did one for Central Mesa, and this is just changing the agreement to allow for Gilbert Road. And it really identifies roles and responsibilities between Metro and the city for who will do what and who will be responsible for what as we move forward through the design and construction of the project. It addresses how everybody's favorite, SIMPA, the concurrent non-project activities, how those will be funded and work through the process. And it also includes a provision for, we may have an opportunity to get additional advances or some additional opportunities to advance funding for this project, similar to item 5B. If that happens, then depending on that funding source, we will come back to the council and get approval to accept those funds and to move that forward. But we wanted to add that provision to this contract so we didn't have to come back with a new contract. It made it simpler and cleaner to move it forward. So those are the three agreements, if you have any questions.
Mayor, so some really good news in here. So one, there's the possibility, as Jody was just mentioning, that the city of Mesa may receive additional regional dollars for the Gilbert Road light rail extension. So we're very optimistic about that. That could be significant for us. That would be, we're receiving more regional dollars for that project. We have local dollars available, but regional dollars available, but that are allocated just for Mesa. These would be coming from a larger pot. So that'd be good for us to have those dollars added to the project to offset costs. The other thing that I want to also mention is that the funds that we are receiving for the right of way and other funding that we're having to, for example, Morris Plaza, there's that street there. We're having to turn that street and use it for a power facility for light rail. In turn, we're taking those dollars and turning them back over to help amenitize, make that plaza a nice location for pedestrians and for those who are using light rail. So there's a large power facility that's already going to be there, but we're also trying to turn it into a nice community plaza. So we're working on the design concepts. City Ornstein is able to bring to us an artist out of Tucson that does some interactive artwork. So we'll be showing to the council here pretty soon. So we're excited about that. And then I thought while we're on these items, one of the reasons we're bringing these forward to you at this time is because there has been a resolution on the outstanding lawsuit. And I thought it might be appropriate, if it would be okay for our city attorney to give an update to the council on that.
Yes, thank you.
Mayor and council, as you know, we were sued by Mr. Joe Price challenging our funding sources. We were successful in the trial court and in the Court of Appeals, and he filed a petition for review in the Arizona Supreme Court. Last week, we were notified that we were successful in the Arizona Supreme Court also. So the litigation is done, and we should be no further impediments with regard to the project.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from council? One of the things I'm looking forward to with regard to our light rail compared to, frankly, other light rail you see is the quality of our stations and the amount of city beautification that we're doing, incorporating into the budget of the light rail. So if you're used to seeing light rail in downtown Phoenix, it's going to be the stations and just really the quality of the development around the rail, I think, is going to be at a higher level in Mesa.
So. Mayor, I think you'll see that we've pushed pretty hard, not only at the stations, you've already seen some of the artwork coming to the stations, but also in these locations where there are off to the side have to put in power facilities, what I'm calling it, and large facilities that are off to the side. We've really pushed hard to get those to also function as public plazas, public facilities. You'll start seeing those come up also throughout the route along the way. So, anyway.
Well, that's great news for downtown. So thank you for doing that. Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Just a real quick question. Have we already determined, and you probably already have, the utilities? Are we going to have to do any relocation of water, sewer, gas?
That was our pain threshold we went through 2 years ago. At the beginning of the project, that was all the work that was taking place, that replacing the water and sewer lines and all the stormwater, I guess, was probably one of the bigger ones. We went ahead of at the beginning of the project, we took care of all the utilities. And Jody used the word, what was the word you get? SIMPA projects.
Non-project activities.
So that's code word for, we did infrastructure improvements that are not directly related to rail, but they're part of our infrastructure. So we went in either ahead of time or right before this project to get them completed or upgraded, modernized, so that they'd be out of the way for this project.
There will be some private utilities for Gilbert Road that will need to be relocated.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Jody. I think we'll approve all the agenda items. You can bring us agreeing to accept money from the federal government. So, good work. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is number two here.
One more presentation.
Yes, thank you.
Because this had come up, I think, in front of the full council, a discussion about electric rates from the City of Mesa's utility. So
thank you.
Frank will be here to make that presentation.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Frank McRae with the Energy Resources Department, and I also have Bill Table, our city attorney, utilities attorney, with me just in case we get any legal questions. Let's see. Little bit of background. Several years ago, we had a major customer, one of our largest customers, have a opportunity to relocate their operations to another part of the valley outside of our electric service territory, outside of our city limits. So in cooperation with the Economic Development Department, the Budget Department, we came up with an idea of developing an incentive rate for customers to retain and keep their operations here in Mesa and being served by the electric utility. That was successful. We were able to keep that customer. We just reached our fifth year anniversary of the agreement with that customer, and so we're going into an extension of that agreement. The tariff that we developed at that time was really focused on retaining existing customers, and it was a little bit awkward to try and apply that towards an existing customer that wants to expand or a new customer that we're trying to attract and recruit into the area. So in cooperation with Economic Development, the City Attorney's Office, Budget Department, we've come up with a proposed adjustment to that. A little bit of history of how we've interacted with the council on this. We presented the idea, the initial draft of the proposed changes to the Economic Development Committee on December 1st, 2014. We got some feedback and some recommendations from the committee at that time. Over the course of the holidays, we went and did a lot of research on what other utilities, what other cities are doing in the ways of trying to provide incentives for economic development through electric rates. And so we developed some economic development criteria as a result of that research. We presented those recommendations to the Audit, Finance, and Enterprise Committee on January 12th of this year, and we reported those findings. And so we came up with a couple of different recommendations. And so we added some eligibility based on a level of capital investment or jobs created for both new and expanding customers. And so as a part of the original proposal, we reduced the minimum consumption from 2.4 million kilowatt hours per year down to 3 million kilowatt hours a year, 250,000 kilowatt hours per month, down to 200,000 kilowatt hours per month. Expanding customers would be eligible if their consumption was projected to meet that minimum threshold within 2 years, and for new customers, they would need to meet that minimum threshold within 3 years. We also clarified that you have to have all of your load or your meters on one premise so that you couldn't have, say, a convenience store that has multiple locations across the city. And when you accumulate their total consumption, You wouldn't want to use that as the criteria to reach 200,000 kilowatts per month. It has to be all at one premise. In response to the council committee's direction on coming up with economic development criteria, we arrived at a criteria that says for every 100 kW of new electric demand, we want you to add 5 full-time equivalent employees or have a capital investment of $500,000 at those premises. And then the initial term of these contracts for getting the economic development rate would be 5 years. And then if they were still meeting the criteria, then you would have the ability to get one-year extensions on a recurring basis. And then we also made some various changes to the tariff to reflect some of the changes. We reorganized, restructured the tariff a little bit, but those are the major changes that we've made to the tariff, and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. And so this has been discussed at a committee level. It's nice to have it here before the full council. I think this is great. My understanding of this, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this will allow us to be more competitive in bringing high electrical users to our downtown area, to our electric utility, particularly things like data centers or cold storage facilities,
yes.
Hypothetically. But just some real high users that would be a huge benefit to our electric utility and give us a lot of utility revenue. So,
yeah. And so, Mayor, I think what this also helps is we've been able to do these kind of on a case-by-case basis up to this point. It's nice to have a policy that's been adopted by the council so that it makes it a little bit easier on the front end as we're having discussions with potential prospects coming into the service area about this. And we all know from recent examples, not necessarily in our service district, but power and access to power and having power at competitive rates is a significant economic incentive that many of these large companies seek after. So we want to make sure we're competitive and really just make sure we have a policy on the front end so that when we're competing, we can make that known what the possibilities are for those clients.
This makes perfect sense to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, Mr. Brady, are there any other staff presentations on the Monday night
calendar? That's it, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Then moving on to the rest of our study session agenda, item 2 is to hear a presentation and discuss the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Promise Zone Program and an update on the application submitted by Mesa.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
I thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about promise zones this morning. Sharon Skinner is our grants coordinator for the city and has been very instrumental in helping us get this application in front of us. And this is really a chance to talk about a new economic development tool or an additional economic development tool. And it's focused on our high poverty areas of the city. And what's great about this, it includes about 10 different partners that we've engaged as we've put this together as well. Originally, I think, Sharon, the application was submitted in November of last year, and we expect an answer from HUD in later this spring?
Later this spring, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Go ahead. I think it's easy to start with what's the definition of a promise zone. You can certainly read that. I want to really point to the definition of communities. It's not the entire city. It's, again, our most needy areas of the city and can help focus some of our resources, federal resources and competitive advantages going forward. So it's neighborhoods and pockets of the city, not the entire city itself. A little bit of the background. You can see it was introduced in 2013. First round produced 3 urban communities. And we were not eligible to compete in the first round. Those 3 were West Philadelphia, San Antonio, and Los Angeles. Going forward for this coming year, current year, there will be 6 urban communities that will be identified here hopefully this spring. They are very much focused on poverty levels. Must be at 33% of their designated area, at or above, and a minimum of 10,000 people and no more than 200,000 people. So you can see that there's a select piece of the puzzle that we're really targeting in there. And it's not for our most impoverished communities across the country, but those who have a viable strategy and the resources to carry it out. Those are a couple important things. So there's need, there's strategy, and there's capacity that really go into the equation. So that's why we think we have a very competitive opportunity in front of us as well. Benefits to communities. Ordinarily, I was involved in enterprise zones and, empowerment zones and enterprise community years ago at a different point in time. And this comes with no additional dollars, and that's important to note. But it does come with preference for federal grants going forward. And it's a 10-year designation. They also provide a lot of technical assistance, and actually we'll have somebody assigned to us to help with a variety of programs across the federal government. So again, we're trying to take advantage of this in a way that, even though there's not dollars, it does give us a chance to compete in a very strong way. And the benefits may change as they go forward. So there's no defined, here's a list of what's going to happen. As the Congress changes, they may add programs that we continue to have preferential treatment over as well. That gives you an idea from a regional perspective of where the Promise Zone is located, and then we're going to, I think, zoom in on it from there. And you can see the western boundary is the area that we're western boundary is the city line, across Pepper up as high as 8th Street, over to Gilbert Road, and down as low as Southern Avenue. I think that's really working with the partners is really what they define as the most areas in need. And I also think that what's important is some of the data that you see up there and on your screens in front of you. That came from the American Community Survey from 2011 and the 2010 census data. They questioned some of the unemployment rates and things, but they actually gave us some of that data in the census tract info, filled that in for us as well. So the last piece is to give you an idea of who some of our partners were. And again, this was a very collaborative effort through multiple departments, multiple partners, and really came together in a very quick manner to meet some deadlines. But I like our position and our opportunity, I think, going forward, and hopefully in the next couple months we'll hear some answers. Did I miss anything?
No, that captures everything. I think we have a good chance at this, a good shot at it. We are, I believe, very qualified for this designation. The applicants, there are fewer than 100 urban applicants, and they will be designating 6. I know that sounds competitive, but in the scope of federal applications, that's not as competitive as I've seen a lot of things in the last few years. So I think we have a good shot. I really want to say that the Economic Development Office did a great job of pulling together a huge number of collaborative partners for this, and that I'm very happy to have been a part of it.
Thank you. Questions?
Thank you. Mr. Kavanaugh, and then Mr. Richards.
Thank you. In looking at the boundaries for the Promise Zone, I'm pretty intrigued about the potential, if we get a designation such as this, basically along the light rail route. And one of the projects the police department is looking at is implementing a bike patrol team on light rail and along light rail. And I know you said this doesn't come with dollars, but if we get this designation, would it put us in a better position to be able to apply for other grants or opportunities that could assist with that, since the goal of that the bike program is really to address criminal activity all along that the light rail line and the surrounding neighborhoods.
Councilmember Kavanaugh, or Vice Mayor Kavanaugh, sorry, you're absolutely correct. It does. It provides preferential treatment. You get additional points in the review process for the applications that you do submit to the federal government, but it's restricted to a specific list, and that list, as Mr. Jibjiniak said earlier, can change over time. We do have a current list, and we know what agencies are giving preferential treatment right now, and our hope is that not only will we get preferential treatment from those agencies, but just by talking about the need in our Promise Zone, we should be able to make a stronger case to any other agencies in our applications.
Thank you.
Mr. Richens.
Were you aware of any other Valley cities that have submitted applications?
The city of Phoenix has also submitted an application. I do know that. They are on the list.
I think Tucson across the state.
And Tucson, yeah.
Just the three largest in the state.
The one challenge that we are up against as far as going outside the competitive scope is that the federal government is looking at geographic designations as well. So they may decide to only put one in Arizona, or one in the Southwest for that matter. But to be honest with you, there aren't a large number of Southwest cities applying. So regionally, we are in a fairly small pool, which is good.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? I guess we'll just cross our fingers and hope for the best, and hope that there is money connected to this at some point if we're successful.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your hard work. Next item on the agenda is item 3 regarding job order contract projects. Any questions from council at this time on that item? If not, item 4 is to acknowledge receipt of minutes from boards and committees. Is there a motion? A motion and a second? Got that? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That item passes. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Council, let's start with Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Last night I attended a community meeting at the Fiesta District substation for Block Watch captains and neighborhood leaders. It was one of two meetings held yesterday. Earlier was designed more for business leaders, but I wanted to take the moment to recognize Commander Mark Wesselman, who's been commander for both Dobson and Fiesta for the past 6 years, and he's retiring in 2 weeks. And he has done a remarkable job there. The crime statistics speak for themselves in Fiesta District. And I know both the business leaders and the neighborhood leaders who were there last night were very appreciative of the work that he has done for all the years with Mesa PD.
Thank you. Yes, we wish him congratulations on his retirement. Mr. Luna.
We had a great event last week, a Heart for Health event over at the Multi-Generation Center. And there's a few videos floating around, so you might want to take a peek at those. But anyway, or not.
There's a virus attached to
it. There's a virus attached to it, according to Mr. Brady.
Do not click open.
But I want to thank Marisa, my Ramos, my assistant. She did a great job putting that together. So we had a good turnout. I think we had over 200 people attend the event. So I'm going to try to do this as an annual event to encourage people to live healthy lives and to exercise. So that was great. And then this weekend, we're co-sponsoring with my office the SciTech Fair over at Red Mountain High School, along with Mesa Public Schools. So we're very excited about that. So if you want to bring your kids or family members to see what kids are doing in terms of scientific activities, the STEAM programs, I encourage you to attend. That'll be at Red Mountain High School, beginning at 10, ending at 2. And we're excited about that event as well.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Luna. Mr. Richens.
You always keep in mind you can't unsee things once you watch them. So proceed with caution. So Tuesday night, we had a kickoff for Building Strong Neighborhoods in District 1. I want to thank the folks. Commander Williams was there, and a lot of our neighborhood outreach staff, Cynthia Garza and Alicia, and different folks were there. I appreciate the time they spent interacting with neighbors. It was a neighborhood over by Keno. They had a really great turnout, really enthusiastic group, wanting to roll up their sleeves and work on some issues in their neighborhood. So again, thanks to staff and other organizations who came and participated in that event.
Great, thank you. Any other meetings or conferences? Mr. Brady, what's next for us on scheduling of meetings?
Thank you, Mayor. This is a busy weekend. The city will be hosting the reopening of the new Holcomb Stadium with a day at the Diamond. So that will be February 21st, this Saturday, from 11 to 5. So we've invited everybody out to the celebration. It is free. There will be lots of activities going on, an opportunity to tour the new A's renovated stadium. So invite everybody to come out to that event this weekend. Also, our next council meeting will be Monday, February 23rd. And following this meeting will be the Community and Cultural Development Committee meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I know last year anyone who attended the spring training kickoff event at Riverview, what really that was one of the events of the year. It was fabulous. And so we're trying to do the same thing all over again this Saturday. So for those who are within the sound of my voice, do yourself a favor and come to HoHoCam this Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun and a great opportunity to look at it, really some wonderful updating to that great facility. Any other thing, for anything else we need to discuss for the good of the order? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned.